Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
So where can we turn as Christians? Because the problem is, as Christians, the world is looking to us to see how are we going to respond. And I don't know that how I'd grade us yet. You know, because I think our responses are supposed to be different. So, you know, in looking at this, where do we turn? We should turn to the Word of God. And does the Bible say anything about times like this? And what can we learn from it? Are you ready for some good news? The Bible's not quiet about these things. And so let's look. In fact, Jesus talked about pestilence. He talked about pestilence in Luke 21 and Matthew 24. In fact, let's go to Matthew 24. It's our first scripture today. We've got quite a few scriptures we're going to hop around. Matthew 24, and the disciples are asking him about kind of the end of the age and the return of Christ. And he kind of highlights, he says, as he sat in the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. You see, there's always misinformation. There's always misinformation going around. Verse 5, it says, for many will come in my name, saying I'm the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear, here's the big point I want to spotlight. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are but the beginning of the birth pangs. In Luke 21:11, in the same context, Jesus says that there will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences. This word pestilences means plagues or disasters, okay? And I know some of you are like, wow, Pastor Michael, that's really encouraging. Yes, it is. It actually is very encouraging, because in the face of pestilence, of famines, of disease, of all these things, we don't have to be alarmed. That's what Jesus told us. You know, we read right over that. He says, see to it in verse 6, see that you are not alarmed. So we can face a pandemic, and as Christians, we can be not alarmed. Yep. Yes, we can. And I'd like to tell you how. First point, I got 4 points for us here today. It only took 60 minutes in first service, okay? So don't turn off, just kidding. 4 points. First point is this, and it's an important one. God knows, all right? God's not just sitting here having to get the New York Times to read what's going on. God is not having to get on CNN or Fox or whatever. God is not sitting back there going, woohoo, where did that come from? Okay, he's not shocked. God knows. God understands. Jesus knows what's going on. The first time that I flew with my children, when I remember Ellie was, you know, kind of just getting there, and there was a little bit of fear going on, and we got in the plane and we took off, and as we were going on, I'm like, you know, it's going there. We get the speed and her eyes are real big, and then we, you know, get the takeoff, and just as you start raising, you know how they pull the flaps back in, you hear that, and then the landing gear come up and you hear that, and when that, she was like, the engine's falling off. I mean, it was that type of a pure panic, right? Okay. She said, yeah, you're right. Oh, and by the way, let me just pause. I do have my phone on, and we have been texting back and forth all the people. So if you have a comment, feel free to bring it in, and I will try to kind of watch that. We didn't do communion. Yes, Lainey, we're doing communion later. Okay, we're doing, goodness gracious. First service, someone was like, your fly's open. Just kidding. I was like, thanks. Way to throw me off my message. But Ellie was flying. We're sitting there, we're flying, and we heard that, kunk, and she was like, ah! And she looked up at me, and I'm like, it's okay. This happens all the time. I fly a lot, and it's like, this is part of it, okay? Yeah, it's the first time you see it, it's disheartening. Yeah, what was that? What was that sound? I don't like it. Why? Because I don't know. Why? Because I'm not in control. Right? John 16, 33. Jesus lets us know that we're going to go through times like this. He says, I've said these things to you that in me you may have what? Peace. He says, look, in me you can have peace. And then he kind of tells us when we're going to need this. He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. In other words, he's letting us know something, that God knows what's going on and that he is in control and he is more powerful. He has overcome the world. Now, that's good news, right? He knows what's going on. Now, for some people, they're like, well, when, why on the earth would God allow this? There must be proof that there is no God, because why would God allow such a horrific event to happen? Why would God allow, you know, hundreds of thousands of things to come across and people to become sick? Why would God allow this? Well, let me tell you something. Sickness and death are here because of man's rejection of God. That's why we live in a broken world. And it wasn't God that broke it. It was mankind's breaking of God's covenant. What God wants is for us to be dependent upon him so that he can be our provider and our shield and our strength. Well, God had this wonderful, wonderful relationship with mankind, and we tried to replace it by being in control. Consider once again, what was the tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, I don't want to go to God for this. I want to be in control. And when we are in control, comes disease, sickness, death. The world is broken because of sin. God did not leave us. Mankind left him. And so what Paul lets us know, it kind of another insight in 1 Corinthians 15, 21 through 22. Paul frames it like this. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. This is good news. It means that God is rescuing the world through Jesus. Okay? So let me just tell you, there's no sugarcoating this. There is, you always hear the joke that 100% of all people who are born will die. And it's true. Okay, we are, unless we are of the generation who sits here and it sees Christ's return, we're going to experience death. But it's not to be feared. It is not to be feared. Whether it comes in whatever form it comes in, we do not need to fear death, because those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, death has lost its sting. There is now victory in place of that. So we have nothing to fear, really, gang. Paul says, look, if we're absent with the body, we're going to be present with Christ. And when we live our lives the way that God wants us to, we're building up treasures in heaven. We're going to have rewards. There's going to be feasting. And that's the foundation of our faith, is God rewards us for our faith in him. And so why are we freaking out? We're freaking out because we're holding on to something that's not eternal anyway. Eternity compared with the however many years we have here on earth. So the world now needs to see the church standing up and really believing what is the foundation of our faith. What we shouldn't have is the church freaking out. So I kind of put it like this. Because God knows, we can have peace. We live in this broken world. And gang, look, when we examine Scripture, I want you to know something. God uses pestilence. In Egypt, there was, remember the series of plagues? That God used them. Pestilence was something that God used to build a case to free his people and to demonstrate his greatness over the gods of Egypt. It's an interesting study. If you look at all the various plagues, each plague lined up with one of the Egyptians' greatest gods. And each one was showing that God was greater. Every one of the plagues was a response to that. It's a fantastic study. So God used it. And so what I find is quite interesting here today is that God uses pestilence when these things hit. He shows us what our idols are. housing bubble crash, stock market crash, a lot of people's idols were in their bank account. A lot of people's idols, they put their full trust in this. I have saved myself. I am my own provider. I want you to know that God is your provider. Okay? Yeah, that's great. Be financially responsible. Be blessed. I believe God wants us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. Don't be a reservoir. Be a river. I'm going to use all the different cliches that I can use about how we are supposed to be generous and to be blessing other people. And boy, you know, I just got to tell you. I just got to tell you, gang. For some of us, it's been interesting because I hear people panicking saying, how in the world are we going to be distracted now that sports are gone? For some of us, we look for all these different distractions. And again, this is just my opinion. I think God has stripped away some of our idols. And I want to say, you know that I've said this, and it's sometimes to the ire of folks around, we as a society have gotten way out of balance. We've gotten way out of balance in how we handle certain things and what we prioritize. And I'm telling you what, pestilence shines a spotlight on our idols, and God wants us to come to Him and to keep things in the proper perspective. Now, God knows. So my second point for us today is this. Not only does God know, but God cares. He's not indifferent. He's not saying, wow, sucks to be you. That's not what God is saying in this time. What God is saying is, I understand what's going on, and it matters to me. Isaiah 41:10, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Just reading it brings me comfort. Because if you look at the context, the people of Israel are in a really, really, really difficult time. And yet, here's the message of the Lord. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I tell you, gang, God is around. And so for some of us, you know what? We need to turn to God and quit turning to the news so much. I'm not against, you know, being informed, but some of us are hyper-informed. Some of us are, hyper-informed. We are so locked in, and we're just, what is it going to say? Here's what, talk to God about what's going on. Talk to God who is in control, who knows and who cares, and ask for His perspective, because He's not freaking out. And just like my daughter on the plane, yeah, there can be things going on, and it can be shaken, and it can be going around. And then they kind of look, and they're like, hey, look, this is part of it. The first time I remember flying a long way to Europe, and we hit some really bad turbulence, and I looked over at the person next to me, and they're like, yeah, this happens. The first time you're in it, you're like, holy cow, And then you realize you see some seasoned travelers who've done it before. They're like, this is part of it. We had a really crazy bumpy flight going into San Diego a little bit ago. And I mean, it was just churned. And I was like, yeah, I've done this before. I get it. And there were some people around just freaking out. Look, God's not freaking out. Okay? And so there's really no reason for us to. Okay? So we need to perhaps turn to God. Now, I'm not saying stick your head in the sand. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying some of us have an unhealthy addiction to, I gotta know what's going on. Why? So you can worry more? Because what you're doing with the news that you have isn't doing any good now, is it? It's only adding to hysteria. Well, I have to know the latest facts. What you need to know is the God of peace and what He will have you do in the midst of it. That's what you need. What you want is to be in control. Newsflash, none of y'all in control. Right? That's why we're addicted to this. It gives us a sense of we can figure it out. Put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil back. Right? Balance. Guard your eyes, guard your ears, and guard your heart. And perhaps now's the time to talk to God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. My brothers and sisters, like never before, this is a time, this will mess you up. There's some things out there that'll mess you up, but what we can do is we can talk to God. We can tell Him, look, how do I process these things? And when we see Him, we're going to recognize that He is there for us. And so, my thought for this is because God cares, we can call out to Him. And that's what we're going to do at this very moment. We're going to pause the message. We're not done with the message. We're about halfway. We're going to hit the pause button because the President of the United States has declared today as a national day of prayer. Madison, would you come up and play for us? We're gonna just take some time right now, and we're gonna just have a moment of prayer specifically about what's going on, specifically about the coronavirus and about the response to that. So I'd invite you let's get in an attitude of prayer, and you at home, please, as well. Let's just join together because Scripture tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That's a promise that's given in a very, very difficult time. Church family, affection, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. We are not powerless at this moment. We are part of the family of God. We are anointed through the Holy Spirit to join heaven and earth and to beseech the Lord God Almighty to move. And if you look throughout Scripture, in times of pestilence, when people prayed, God moved. And so instead of hoarding toilet paper, instead of freaking out, what we can do is call out to the Almighty and say, God, save us. Would you join me now? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you humbly today. We have been humbled. We've been humbled as a nation, as a people. In many ways, we've gotten complacent. In many ways, we have just we've gotten on autopilot, thinking that we take care of everything. We take care of ourselves. That we are in control, and we recognize once again this is a fallacy. And this isn't the first time that our nation has been here. It's not the first time the world has been here. It's not the first time that we as a community have been here. But we're here again. And so, God, right now, We're claiming that promise that you've given us. We, your people, you have called us. God, we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves before your throne of mercy and grace. We bow our knee before the God of heaven and earth. Lord, we confess to you that we are imperfect people, that we have been prideful, we have been arrogant, we have been sinful, we have not lived up to our calling in you as royal priesthood, as a chosen generation. God, we ask you to forgive our arrogance and our pride, our resistance of you, our rejection of you, of throwing you out of our schools, of throwing you out of every place in which you've created. God, we call out to you, spare thy people, God. God, I pray right now that a miracle would happen, and we know that you're the God of miracles. We pray, God, that there would be an intervention from heaven in such a way that people would look back and see your glory. We're calling out to that God today. You, Lord God Almighty, are able to save. So, Lord, I pray a blessing on the medical staff. I pray a blessing on scientists. I pray a blessing upon those who are working on this problem. Give them insight, or just heal from heaven, however you say to do it, God. And give us ears to hear and eyes to see how we can learn, how we can grow closer to you from this, through this event. God, I pray for your church. I pray, God, for every part of the church today. Even though it feels like we're separated, we're actually together. We are one. So we're joining together with our brothers and sisters at home around coffee tables and around televisions and smart TVs and wherever they are. We're joining together. We are one body, and we're calling out, Lord God, spare thy people. Bring healing. You are able. And God, we choose to praise you. We choose to to yield our lives to you, that you can use us in the midst of pestilence to be your light, to be your love, to be your hands, to be your voice that speaks sensible peace in the midst of chaos. We grab a hold of your promise and your command repeated throughout scriptures to fear not, to not worry. Help us to be wise and people full of faith. We pray this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name is above all other names, the one who is able to save, most holy. Amen. God bless you, my church family. We need to do more of that. We need to do more of that. So my next point is, so we know that God knows, we know that God cares. And here's my next point. God knows, God cares, and God is near. God is not far away. We forget that in these times that God is near. And again, He is using pestilence, I believe, to get our attention. Romans 8:28 gives us some good news, though. It says, and we know that for those who love God. Does anybody love God in the room here today? Do you love God at home? I didn't hear you. Okay. For those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. My brothers and sisters, you know, this is a wonderful thing. This is a wonderful thing that even in this time, even in this time of uncertainty and this time of sometimes of pestilence, God is speaking to us. And I guess the question that I believe He's asking us is what is He trying to get our attention about? What are the things that He's wanting us to look at? What are the things that we have placed? What are the idols that we have usurped God with in our life? You know, I'm not pulling our arrogance. I'm not declaring judgment here. I'm saying that God wants to use this as attention. I'm not saying that. And so for one thing, I think there's some things that we've lost. Number one, we've lost family. We have lost family. I mean, our culture has gotten to a breakneck pace. We've lost family. We've lost the ability to get together. Many of us, we've lost our values. We don't value life. We don't value the things that God values. For many of us, our priorities are just out of kilter. The pace of our society, and good heavens, we've lost the commandment of Sabbath. I mean, think about this. There were 10 commandments. One of the top 10 was chill the heck out. I'm saying, have you thought about it? 10% of the top 10 there, one of them is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. I'm guilty. I'm a workaholic and I'm trying to recover from it. But the deal is, gang, it does us no good to run through life thinking that somehow we can fix it and we can deal with things. You know, my sister shared something with me. I think that we are at a time in these next few weeks. I can't sit there and say, that, hey, that things aren't going to get worse. Because they very well might. I'm not going to say they are. I'm praying that they don't. But I don't know, but I do know this. Some of us are out of balance, and our society in many ways is way out of balance, and God is giving us a tremendous opportunity. Please listen to what I'm going to say now. Folks at home as well, please understand the heart of what I'm saying. I'm deeply troubled at the lack of connection that we have. When we sit there and we say, hey, we're going to have family time, and you put a movie on, and we're guilty of this at times, and every single person is on their screen. We're out together and we're doing something, and we got 5 different people doing 5 different things. It is time to break away. It is time to get that stinking leash and get it under control. We have lost family. We've lost the ability to communicate. We've lost the ability to give grace to one another. Good heavens. There are many times we can't even have conversations with one another. Folks, this is an opportunity that we have to do a hard reset. So I know our kids are freaking out. They're like, what in the world are we going to do for the next 2 weeks? And I know parents are freaking out. What in the world are we going to do for the next 2 weeks? Look, it may be longer than 2 weeks. I'm saying this. Here's a letter, a blog post from a lady named Rebecca Franks, who lives in Wuhan. Does that sound familiar? Ever heard of that place? This is on day 48 of her quarantine. It says, it's roughly day 48 of the city's quarantine. We've been locked in our apartment complex for many weeks. We haven't eaten out since January 19th. We're living in such strange times. After my last post, which was all about locks on doors and further restrictions, my husband asked me if I posted any of the good. But nothing. That convicted me. So, from the epicenter of the coronavirus, here are some of the good that we have been experiencing because of the lockdown. Be warned, there's no way this post could be short. Now, I'm only going to read just a portion of it. Our family life has never been better. Usually, one weekend is long enough before I'm ready to send each one back to school or back to work. But 7 weeks? We've been home together with very little outside influences or distraction, forced to reconnect with one another, to learn how to communicate better, to give each other space, to slow down our pace and be a stronger family than ever before. She goes on to say, she hadn't heard the birds sing. She'd forgotten that they were even there in Wuhan because the pace of the city was so much it drowned it out. And now they can hear birds sing. They can hear these events. You know, they can see the blooming of spring. You know, when was the last time that you just realized that you got bored? I always have a joke on vacation. My goal on vacation is to get bored. You know what? Maybe we could just find a way. Instead of constantly having to stimulate our brains with some other type of thing, that we could realize that we were created for relationships. Relationship with God and relationships with one another. My personal opinion, this is just my personal opinion, is that's an idol God's come for. And don't miss this opportunity to reconnect spiritually, to talk, to have, I mean, my heavens, what a good time to talk with your children about life and about values and about all these wonderful things. This is a great thing. There's a potential. Yes, there's a real potential of pestilence in our country. And I pray that we will let God teach us in the midst of pestilence. God wants to use every situation to change us. And I believe that He wants to get our attention. Andy Crouch, fantastic writer, said that this is an opportunity for Christians to reclaim the household. So I encourage you, my church family, don't try to just get through the next 2 weeks. Don't miss this opportunity. It's going to take some discipline. It's because we're in a habit of don't be in your household stuck with people, but your mind is elsewhere. The greatest people in your life are the people whom you're going to be with. Be with them. Don't miss it out. And this is just not because I have one getting ready to go away to college. Don't cheer, Ellie. I'm saying for all of us, we got a chance to parent like never before. We got a chance to connect like never before. Play cards, play board games, talk. Just don't fall into the how in the world are we going to stream enough stuff to get through. If I'd recommend setting a plan beforehand prayerfully of what are electronics going to be? You know, hey, wouldn't that be a great one if all electronics? Because, you know, if we're already, we don't have sports, we don't have this, how are we going to get through? No Final Four? Can we just stream last year's? Don't you see the potential of what we have? Yeah. Final point. God knows, God cares, God is near, and hallelujah, God is still in control. I know we've been long, but this is important stuff. You can't control this. Gang, you cannot control this. But you can give God control through this. And that means if we give Him control, there's great news. We don't have to be afraid. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we can know who holds tomorrow. And He is still on the throne. Because God is in control, we need not fear. We don't need to panic, but what we do need to do is to love one another. Don't spread fear, spread peace, and spread the gospel. God has called us to be agents of peace, faith, and to bring the message of hope in the midst of chaos. I mean, good heavens, there's a lot of messaging going out right now, and we are not to miss our opportunity to bring God's perspective of this. If God is in control of us, my final point is we will love our brothers. And so, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear. But let's all read this together, right? For God gave us a spirit not of... Now, wait. People at home, I didn't hear you. So let's all say, read it loud. Ready? For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Another translation of self-control says of a sound mind. In other words, don't let panic and anxiety riddle your mind. We don't need to be afraid because God is greater and He is in control. And we are to be His agents of hope and peace in the face of panic, selfishness, and fear. How can we do that, Pastor? Here's one you can do. Look for opportunities to minister to those in need. I mean, some of us, I mean, there's... why in the world did you need 400 rolls of toilet paper to get through 14 days? You have other problems. But here's what we do. There are people who didn't get a chance to get those. And if you got 400 rolls and you see your brother walking around all chafed, you say, I got a present for you. I'm sorry. That was bad. You can click a bunch, John. Yeah. Yeah, that was Blake. There might be times coming up. Look, if should times get more difficult around here, we have some elderly who don't need to be out shopping. And we should be looking out for them. We should be saying, hey, what do you need? How can I go to the store? If we find out that there are families and they didn't get an opportunity to get stuff, and next thing, everyone... Look, we need to find ways to share what we have. That's what the church does. The church does not spread fear. The church brings hope and peace and the love of Christ. So look for how we can be our brother's keeper, how we can bring relief to the needy, and how we can bring truth to the lies of the enemy that want us all to panic and freak out. God is in control.
Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday School offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.